OFM, the sound of your life, this is The Joyride, and we are so privileged to have world-famous flat earth enthusiast, expert, and all-round nice guy, David Weiss, on the show this afternoon. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Nico. Glad to be here. Looking forward to the conversation.
Fantastic. So where are you at the moment? In the U.S.?
I'm in the U.S. right next to New York City, unfortunately.
Good luck. The 20th of Jan is going to be a thing of its own
to
tackle. It's going to
be a show.
Yeah, we're holding thumbs that everything goes well.
David, yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know it. He's got too many followers, like most of us have that problem as well. David, tell me, this is a controversial subject in any conversation. I mean, we've grown up knowing that the earth is round. As far as
believing,
let's rather use that word. Belief is probably the best way to go about it. And straight off the cuff, I'm going to tell you, there's no way I believe the earth is flat, but you're going to convince me today. Is that right?
Well, I'm going to show you that you have zero proof that the earth is a ball. So we'll start there and then we'll unwind it from there. But nobody likes having their ball taken away.
Of course.
I'm going to remove your ball today.
Tell me, when was the first time that you realized or came to grips with the fact that maybe the earth is not a ball?
So I did a conspiracy podcast, so I'm open-minded, and people started sending me in the second year or third year, hey, have you looked into flat earth? And like any common, intelligent thinking person would do, I would delete that email and ban them from our social media for being so stupid to even ask me to watch a 1-minute video. But then I was forced to look by another researcher that I trust. And I was like, all right, that's it. And I went in with a closed mind. I'm going to prove the globe and I'm going to disprove flat earth. And for 2 weeks, every proof I thought I had for the globe, I looked at it and I'm like, that's not a proof at all. And I realized that I had zero proofs of the ball. And so then I realized my concept of what flat earth was is completely wrong. And my understanding of what the globe is completely wrong. So after 2 weeks, I came out the other side going, oh my God, we don't live on a spinning water ball rocket flying through an infinite vacuum.
So living in a world that mocks these kinds of theories, how do you get by? Because, I mean, you obviously have a firm belief in what you do believe, and you've got evidence that we're going to unpack this afternoon. How do you move in a world that mocks everything that you have come to believe?
Getting easier. More and more people are waking up. You know, when I reach out to shows like yours, instead of saying you're crazy, like they would have 5 years ago, now they're like, yeah, we'll have you on. And everybody wants to talk about it. So after a decade of ridicule, my childhood friends are reaching out to me. Hey, Dave, I saw you on the Charlie Ward show and I looked into flat earth. Oh my God, you know? And so they're all coming around. So yeah, I've got thick skin.
And your family?
But it's getting easier. What's that?
And your family?
My family's on board. My kids are, 30 years old, 30 and 32. And, they know the earth is flat, but they just want to leave it as is and live their life. That's fine. My wife, totally on board. My friends, I've lost some friends. I don't discuss it with my brother and sister at all, because they're fast asleep, and that's fine. But I've gained new friends and family. The flat earth community is the nicest community you could ever be in.
What's the worst insult you've ever received?
You got a fat head? I don't know.
Not that you're a conspiracy flat earth theorist at all. That never came up.
No, the term flat earther is a weaponized term like conspiracy theorists. You know, a conspiracy is two or more people getting together, conspiring for their own benefit. Well, that happens every day everywhere. You're involved in some conspiracies for your own benefit, I'm sure. Everybody is. So conspiracy theory, it's not a theory. We know that there is a deception. When you look at what the flat earth is and what the ball is, you realize the ball makes no sense. I'm going to say some crazy things during the show. I'm going to say some things that you can be like, oh, that makes sense. And you're going to notice that the crazy things are me when I'm trying to explain the globe. And the things that make sense are going to be the what the flat earth is. So let me start by let's talk about what the flat earth is and what it isn't.
I think let's start unpacking it. Like, where did you start for the first time to believe in this? And well, what made you dig into this?
Well, because I was being asked to look into it so many times. And then I was given a series of videos called Flat Earth Clues. And I was like, yeah, that's interesting, but I'm going to disprove all of this. But the only people that believe they live on a ball are people that haven't looked into it. I'm sorry. Some people think they have. They Google Flat Earth. They end up at the Flat Earth Society and they see this. They see a disc floating in space with a bunch of other round planets. Well, nobody believes that. No one even believes that there are flat planets out there, that the Earth is even a planet. You know, some people, you know, if you Google images of flat Earth, you see these discs floating in space with a dome that looks like a turn up, you know.
Like a Frisbee. That's what
nobody believes that. That is not the case at all. Think about this. We have the globe, and at the bottom of the globe is Antarctica, and it's 13,000 miles around, and that's what they tell us. But that's not the case at all. You can't have water on the outside of a ball in an infinite vacuum with an atmosphere. It just breaks every law of physics. So what is the flat Earth? What is a puddle? Think about a puddle. After a rainstorm, the water gathers in the low spot in the land, and the edge of the puddle is just where the land is higher than the water, right? And it holds, contains the water. So expand that to a pond or a lake, right? So a lake is just a big puddle. Maybe it has some islands in it. And the edge of the lake is what? The land that's consistently higher than the lake. Well, we live in a giant lake, and all of the continents are the islands within the lake. And the land that surrounds the world lake, the world ocean, the world pond, whatever you want to call it, is the land that we call Antarctica. And Antarctica is the highest land on Earth. When you get there, typically it's 100, 200 feet over your head above the ice wall.
So it's basically Game of Thrones.
Well, it's not an ice wall. You know, when you look at Antarctica, people's like, where's the ice wall? Well, the ice wall is just the edge of the world ocean. And then you have this ice plain that goes on for hundreds, if not thousands of miles. And then there's a mountain range beyond it. Okay. So that is just the shoreline of the world ocean. Okay. And nobody is allowed to independently, go there and explore. So we live, you know, the water, large bodies of water at rest lay flat. Okay. That's a fact of physics. They don't curve over a ball. And if we were on a ball, there should be a certain amount of curvature and you should only be able to see a certain distance. But we have Navy ship, weapons guys that say they can pinpoint with a laser another ship 100 miles away from the deck of their ship. They can see it and they can put a pinpoint laser on it 100 miles away. Well, that ship should be over a mile below the curvature, but they can see it. Okay. They can see it. Our optics have outgrown their lies.
So
what is the edge of the world that we live in? And you can't fall off a lake. You can't fall off the flat earth.
So if I'm in a plane and I'm at 30,000 feet in the air and the higher you go, is it the perspective thing or is it just my eyes playing tricks on me? Because I've kind of seen a little bit of curvature from the airplane window.
Well, so it's two things. One, you're expecting to see curvature. Three things. One, you're expecting to see curvature. Two, the windows have a little bit of a curve to them, which could just dip the ends down a little bit. But let's say you have a straight window. Three, we see to the horizon, whatever height we are, you know, the higher we are, the farther the apparent horizon is. And it's at a certain distance at 12 o'clock in front of us. And it's at the same distance at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way around. So that's a flat circle. So your horizon is equal. It's a flat circle. And your brain says, oh, that must be a sphere. It's not a sphere at all. I mean, at 120,000 feet without a fisheye lens, we have perfectly flat horizon. You know, and you think you saw it at that height, but the high priest of scientism, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and all of the other puppets out there pushing the ball Earth, they say that you can't see it at 127,000 feet. Okay,
why would they be holding on to this though? Why would they keep?
Let's save that for the end. All right. Let's save that for
put
the
it
last
in the pocket.
5 minutes.
I get it. So, if you say that the earth is flat and that it's almost like a puddle, and it's not a spinning ball, where does gravity come into play?
So gravity is a theory. Science says gravity is a theory. Again, Neil deGrasse Tyson and all of the other head scientists of the world that are out there talking on the news and making all the stuff, they all say, we don't know what gravity is. We don't know. Every test they've done to prove mass attracting mass, has failed. And they have to make up dark matter and dark energy, and which you've heard of. No one's ever seen it. It's only theorized, but it has to exist because gravity wouldn't work without it. This is what they say. This is pseudoscience. Okay. But it has to exist. But that's like me saying, hey, I owe you $100. I'm going to PayPal you $4 and then I'm going to send the $96 in dark dollars. But trust me, they exist. You're never going to see them, but they exist.
But right? what keeps us on this flat plane? Why aren't we floating? What keeps us on this plane?
I'm going to get there. So they've never been able to prove mass attracting mass. But what we can prove is the true forces in this world are electricity and magnetism. And when something has a negative charge, it has an attraction to it. Well, the earth plane has a measurable negative electric charge. Not a theory. It's a fact. It's measurable. And the voltage as you get higher off of earth increases by 100 volts every meter. That's not a theory. This is, this world is filled with energy. So that negative energy establishes a down. For me, down is right here. For somebody in Australia over there, down is down, straight down. It's not up, okay?
Not down under. It's the same down.
It's the same down across the plane. So that negative charge establishes a weak down force. Just like to say gravity is a weak force. And then buoyancy and density sort everything out. If I had a basketball and held it over a body of water and I dropped it, it's going to fall through the air because it's more dense than the air, but it's going to sit on top of the water because it's less dense than the water. Okay. And that's just because everything knows where down is because of the negative charge of the earth. Now, you ever see those little triangles that they make out of tinfoil and they electrify them and they float up in the air?
Yeah.
They're just changing it to a negative charge, a strong negative charge, and it negates the negative charge of the earth and it floats.
So
gravity, go ahead.
Speaking of water though, where do the tides come from then? Because that's pretty universally the same.
So tides are amazing. Tides are way stranger than you think, and they're not tied to the moon. So, they're not tied to the gravity of the moon. And the way I can prove that is when we have a really high tide, you have a full moon, you have a really high tide, okay? But when there's a new moon, there's not a really high tide. The moon's still there in the heliocentric model. It's just not lit up by the sun. Why would the gravity be any different? Okay. And there's tidal nodes all over the world in different places. Insanity. You watch where these high tides and low tides are. None of it correlates to the moon, but the tides are tied in with what I call the Earth battery system. The Earth is a giant, battery. The sun and the moon are the anode and the cathode of the battery. The salt water carries the current. Okay. And that might have something to do with the tides. And the land is the salt bridge of the battery, but freshwater lakes are perfectly calm, right? Perfect glass freshwater lakes happen all the time, right? With zero, not a ripple, but we're spinning and whirling and twirling and flying billions of miles a day, and not that water doesn't move. Science says because of the spin of the earth, the water bulges at the equator 14 miles high. Well, that would make sense in the gravity spinning ball model. Centrifugal force makes the water bulge at the equator. 14 miles high is taller than Everest. Where do you see that bulge? And if you're in an airplane at 5 miles high, cruising altitude, when do you climb over that bulge to go, from the north to the south?
Well,
just to skim across the top of the bulge.
A guy like Neil deGrasse Tyson says that we're an oblique spheroid. We're not 100% round. So wouldn't that explain some of it?
Neil deGrasse Tyson is a liar. Okay. And we'll get into NASA real quick, and I'll just show you that everything that comes from NASA is complete and total nonsense. And when you unwind that, you realize we never went to the moon.
So before we get there, you just said that the moon and the sun act like cathodes. Salt bridge is the water. So are you saying in the same breath that the sun and the moon aren't real in the way that we've come to know them?
I see sun and the moon in the sky, but they're small and they're close to Earth. The sun and the moon do not act like physical objects, right? Does this sun look like it's 93 million miles away with a hot spot right below it? You know, if it was 93 million miles away, why doesn't it light up the whole Earth equally, right? This sun is right here within the Earth system, okay? It's small, but it doesn't act like a physical object. If two people were triangulating the sun, one person's directly under the sun, and he could prove that with a post, you know, and no shadow, and the other person's 500 miles away, and he looks at the angle he sees the sun, and this guy looks at it, you can calculate and come up with a triangulate where the sun is. But if you add a third or fourth or fifth person to that triangulation, it should get even tighter, but it doesn't. It gets way wacky because everyone sees the sun in a different position in the sky.
So what are the stars and the planets then?
So anything that's above our heads or beyond the shoreline of Antarctica is speculation. I'm happy to speculate, but they, you know, we can talk about physical things that are under our feet. This is the star, Acapella. Well, Acapella, it's not Acapella. It's called, Arcturus. Acapella is a singing thing, right?
Yeah, with no instruments.
This is the star Arcturus through a super zoom P900 consumer grade camera, a couple $100s. Okay.
Looks like a disco ball to me.
Yeah. Well, this is the sun. This is not the sun. This is the star Acapella, whatever. I'm losing my mind. Arcturus. This is the sign. This is the star Capella. Completely different. This one might be a little out of focus, but it doesn't matter. It's got these cymatic patterns and these colors. These things are within the Earth system. Here's this star is Sirius. I have it slowed down, but it's amazing when you see these things. Now, we've sent balloons up at nighttime in the desert where the stars are completely clear and we have camera looking up at the stars. And you would think as it goes up higher, it's going to get even a better view because it's going to get above any pollution. By the time it hit 80,000 feet, all the stars were gone.
But and this is my personal experience, I've looked through a pretty powerful telescope.
Me too. I had an observatory for 4 years in college.
I've seen Saturn and its rings. So
absolutely.
Saturn, how can it not be there?
So no, I'm not saying it's not there. If you look at Saturn, the official picture of Saturn that's in all of the textbooks, it's a composite. They literally stitched it together with crude I don't even want to say Photoshop because I don't even know if they had Photoshop back then, but we've put it in, cranked up the levels, and you can see that it's completely stitched together. Now, here it is. This is what's sad. This is the picture that everyone's seen. You crank up the levels, you can see that it was constructed. There's no question. If you know anything about computer graphics, this was constructed.
But right? No one's constructed the picture that I saw through.
No. You did see it. I see it. I can look through my Zoom camera. I see the ring. It's lit up like it's casting its own light. You know, if you believe that it's a dusty, dirty ball reflecting sunlight, how does it stay evenly lit? How do the rings match the brightness of the planet itself? Sorry about that. Rings match the planet? To me, is its own light. Now, I don't know what it is, and it kind of looks spherical to me. I'll give you that. It's spherical, but look at the lights in your ceiling and tell me what shape your floor is. There's nothing to do with the floor.
And lunar eclipse? How would you explain that?
Yeah, so lunar eclipses and solar eclipses have been predicted long before the heliocentric model came into account. They go on a 18-year cycle, and then they repeat. Did you know that?
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at what happens during these eclipses,
well,
what is causing?
You have a belief that for a lunar eclipse, that the Earth is getting in between. If this is the sun, this is the Earth, and here's the moon, that the Earth comes up and casts a shadow down here, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's many eclipses where somebody standing here on the Earth can see the sun above the horizon. They can see the Earth above their horizon. And the eclipse starts and it comes in from up here.
Well, what's causing the circular pattern of the eclipse then?
So one, we know it's not a sphere casting a shadow, because when a sphere casts a shadow on another sphere, it doesn't come in as a perfect curve and go across. It comes in as an ellipse. It spreads out and then it leaves as an ellipse because of the shape. You know, you just try it. Get a ball and another ball and a light and bring a ball in between. And it's not that even, that even curve that we see. Now, if you brought a straight edge in there, it would make very similar to what you see, but I'm not saying it's a straight edge that's doing that. There's something else that's darkening the moon, whether it's a shadow or a dimming of the moon. I couldn't tell you, but the moon is its own light. It's not reflecting sunlight.
And
the Selenidian eclipse proves that it's not the Earth casting a shadow.
And if you had to take an educated guess, mm-hmm. I know you say you don't, but if you had to speculate, what's outside of this, can I call it terrestrial dome that we live in? What's water. Outside of it?
Water.
Water.
I think so.
Okay. And if we break through the ceiling, will we be?
As Hillary Clinton says, we're going to crack that glass ceiling one day. You know, they're all talking about breaking through the firmament, through the fishbowl. Who knows? I don't think you can break through it. You know, the deepest hole ever dug is just short of 8 miles where they hit an impenetrable barrier. Maybe that's the same as the barrier that's above us.
So if we look at all the other planets, if we can call them that, in for argument's sake.
Would you like to start with Pluto? Here's a picture of Pluto.
Let's go. Take us through the planetary journey.
Here's Pluto. The picture that NASA took when with a 1.5 megapixel camera flying at 60,000 miles away, where at this distance, the sun is like a tiny star, all right? And somehow it got this amazing picture of Pluto, and it looks to be like a desert kind of shaped in the shape of Pluto the dog. Just might be my imagination, okay?
I can see it.
Yeah, all right. So let's look at Jupiter. What's Jupiter? Jupiter is a gaseous planet, right?
Giant gas ball.
A giant gas ball. And NASA has shown us black and white, grainy video footage where the rings are spinning in opposite directions. Some are going this way, some are going this way. So if we look at Jupiter, right, in 2016, the NASA said, hey, we got a picture of the northern lights on Jupiter. They must have a magnetic north pole just like we do, right? That looks fake, but let's just assume it's real. This is the storm that never goes away, that's spinning. It's bigger than the Earth. But all of these are clouds, right? And they're all spinning. If you look at NASA's time lapse, they're spinning and moving. Well, if I overlay the 2016 picture over the 2014 picture, every single dot is the same. This little cloud right here, it's right there. Okay. Every little ripple. These are clouds from storms. This is the same exact picture where they dropped this thing on, told the world it was the Northern Lights, and everyone believes it. So you have to believe that clouds never change over two years apart, or this is a painting and we never went to the moon. You can choose which one you want.
And why would they want to deceive us like this? And I mean, you're speaking from an American perspective, but why would Russia, Japan, India, China, even South Africa, we don't have even close to your space program, but I mean, we've got people to investigate. Why in our government, we can't even keep a secret for a week. How did we manage to do this as a civilization for 70 years now? Keeping it a secret?
I'll give it 100 years. So
yeah,
the thing is, our history is a lie. If you've looked into Tartaria at all, in the 1800s, I believe Tartaria was worldwide. We were a worldwide united people of the world across the entire plane. And we had great technology. They were using their God-given powers, right? But then something happened. And whether there was a natural catastrophic event or something, and they divided the people up. They divided us by countries. They divided us by political parties. They divided us further by sports teams. They divided us by race. They divided us by sexes. Now they're dividing the sexes, right? They divide because people together, now they're dividing us. Don't even go near anybody. Stay 6 feet away from people. They don't want us together because together our collective thoughts and our energy can expose them for the liars and controllers that they are. Okay. So let's continue on NASA for a little bit, and then I'll finish that. So if you look at the Earth, here's two pictures from NASA. Look at the size of the United States, twice the size it is here, right? They're both the same size ball, but you go, well, that one's at a different angle. Well, if I took this one and folded it back, it gets smaller. It doesn't get bigger, right? Look at the difference. Look at the difference in that. That's insane, right? That's crazy. You have to believe that all of the other land is on the other side of that ball. Every other country, it's all on the other side of that ball, right? Does that make any sense to you?
If I can just throw a curveball in here.
Yeah.
The main argument here is that the images that we see are composite images, all right, made up from data or other images that they've collected through whatever they're busy with up there, which they claim to be. In a certain sense, I can understand why they have to be composite images, because, I mean, this is not an HD camera floating around in space taking a nice photo. It's basically noughts and zeros and ones that have to be interpreted afterwards and then made into a picture.
All right, so here's the 2012 photo, and this shows a place that we can actually measure, which we have plenty of flights and people have driven these distances and taken a boat. So we know that this is 934 miles from Baja to the other side of Mexico. So they tell us this is the diameter of the Earth, 7,917 miles. So we would need 8.5 of those to show me the diameter. But 8.5 of those goes all the way across this page. So either the Earth is tiny, or the guy that's calling this a composite is a moron and needs to be fired.
Doesn't know maths.
Or he never went to the moon. What's that?
Can't do maths.
Yeah. No. This is a painting. This is not what the Earth looks like from space. You know, from high up, this is what the Earth looks like. Okay. It's washed out. It's white. It's flat. Okay.
Do you think, on a more philosophical note, I don't know if you're a spiritual or religious person at all, but do you think there might be a certain, kickback from the powers that be? Because if it turns out that the Earth is not a ball and that it is a flat plane, do you think that would lend to the theory of a creator, someone that put it here and not just being there from a big bang?
Yeah, so there's a verse in the Bible that says, if you see my creation, the Earth, then you no longer have an excuse to deny my existence, okay? So once you see it, you can't deny the creator. Well, the evil in this world, whatever you want to label that, the devil, you know, Satan, whatever, they don't want you to see the creation, because then you won't be able to deny the creator. And then you'll figure out who you are, where you are, what you are, and you'll take your power back and you'll realize that nobody has dominion over you. If they can convince you that, you know, you're a random speck from a big bang that, you know, amoeba turned into a fish, into a monkey, into a human, and you're flying through an infinite vacuum where you're out of control and you're going to be worm meat when you're done, and, you know, an asteroid could take you out at any second, then you've given away your power. You're living in fear. You're lost. You don't know who you are, and you give your power away to these so-called authority. Okay? But what we have Flat Earth conferences. I just was one in October. I was at one in October, and everybody there is awake and aware, and they've taken their power back. Okay. People go, what difference does a shape make? It's not the shape. It's the lie. Some people's lives or jobs haven't changed, but they're more fulfilled. They're more awake. And then the analogy I use is in the great documentary with Keanu Reeves called The Matrix. You know the movie?
The Red Pill and the Blue Pill.
Okay, but look at Keanu at the very beginning of the movie. He's depressed. He knows something's wrong, and he's trying to figure out in his conscious mind, but his soul knows something is wrong with the world. Something's not right. And so he has this depression because he's separated from his soul. And at the end of the movie, he finds himself. And look at the Keanu at the end. You know, he's taken back his power. Well, that's the difference between not knowing where you live and knowing where you live. Now, you can manage and not know where you live and find God and have a good life, and that's that. But you're really missing your potential by believing that you're a random accident in a godless universe or a distant God universe.
So satellites, what's Elon Musk busy with? Like, what is he sending up there? Are they doing like little flybys? What's happening? Yeah.
Again, anything above our head is speculation. I can prove to you that that when we look at the space shuttle, not the space, the shuttle? What is it? The ISS, the International Space Station, that physically it's impossible for us to see it, but we do see a light cruise across the sky. I've seen it. I've got the tracker. Hey, it's coming across and it's a little piece of the sun. It's bright. Now, how is it so bright? How come it's not flashing the sun? You know, where is it reflecting the sun? How come I can see it lit and somebody 100 miles away can see it lit also? Like, that doesn't make sense. You can only flash the sun in one direction. Okay. So that thing that we see when we see it cruise along the sky is a luminary. I don't know what it is. It's just like a wandering star, which we also call planets, and it's just on a faster cycle. So here, be the devil's advocate here. Here's from the space station. How come I don't see any land?
Good question. That's one video. I've seen videos, ISS, where you do see some land at the bottom.
Yeah, but again, it's never live. Well, the reason you don't see any land is because this was taken in someone's front yard and we just turned it upside down, right? That was zero budget. Okay. They've got $65 million a day and they're doing stuff like this. These guys were like flipping their little CGI hat around and this guy floats by in the background. Does he look like he's floating to you? The green screen forgot to take out his harness, right?
And I can actually say something that looks like a tail at the back of
his. Well, and look at him. He's hanging from a harness. Look at this girl. There's nothing here. Look, she's going to play with this stuffed animal. Ready? Here it is. And now she's going to manipulate it. That's called augmented reality, right?
That's looking CGI, dude. That's CGI. Well,
she has a contact lens or a lens, and she's manipulating these CGI objects in real time. Okay. And they literally beamed it in. They're showing us what they do. Okay. That's called augmented reality.
What are they doing
with
the money?
These guys are just finishing their little thing. And all of a sudden they glitched out. Everything that was floating glitched out and bam, they cut away to mission control. Right.
So what are they doing with all the money? I mean, there's billions and billions and billions of dollars.
They're taking it from us. NASA is just a CGI studio. They do some rocket launch tricks and, you know, the main reason for NASA is to convince us that we live on a ball. They want to keep the lie. The globe lie is important because everyone that wakes up to flat Earth wakes up to the creator and stops feeding them their power. Literally, it's like the Matrix, that they're feeding off of our fear. And when you wake up to this, after you stop freaking out that you've been lied to your whole life, you take back your power and you lose your fear.
So what do we do with all of this? What do we do with all this information? Is there anything that we can do as laymen?
Absolutely. We can take back, again, we can take back our power when you know, we are the many, they are the few. Government, think about this. You guys are on lockdown and your stores are closed, your restaurants are closed, right? What if in your town, just your town, you got every store owner and every restaurant owner together and says, tomorrow, we're going to open up, we're going to tell people, don't come in here with a mask, and we're going to put twice as many chairs at every table, and we're going to pack even more tables in there, and we're going to have a sale. And everyone just come in and open up. It's over. What are they going to do, arrest the whole town? People are living in fear, thinking that they are being controlled by just a few freaking crazy people. I mean, the world is on lockdown because of the World Health Organization. Do you remember voting for them? Not that voting is real.
No, never.
Bill Gates is dictating that you need to get an injection into your arm. Okay. When did he go to medical school and when did you give him authority over you? Everyone is just giving away their power. But when you see who you are, where you are, what you are. So what's next? What's next? What's next is people need to spread this message. I had my own, commercial solar power development company with a couple partners and I walked away. They still have it and they're doing great. But I'm doing this because this is more important because we are at the precipice of losing the next 1,000 years to tyranny. And if people don't wake up now, like right now, like maybe in the next 2 days, okay? we could go into 1,000 years of friggin' darkness. Who knows? So what can we do? The layman, that's the trick. I can't do anything. I'm just one person. That's bullshit. You know, that's bullshit. You can take back your power, and they cannot do anything to you until you give them permission, but they can trick you into giving permission.
So right? if you have to go into your, I wouldn't call it bag of tricks, but your bag of evidence. And if you, I know it's almost impossible, but if you can give me the number one reason why people should start digging into this and start thinking.
The number one proof. You're talking about.
Yeah, the number one proof or the best proof out there that will make people go, I might not believe in flat earth, but this really doesn't make sense. Let's go check into this.
Well, the just look into the heliocentric model. It's, you know, we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, falling over backwards faster than the speed of sound when you're watching the sunset. Do you believe the sun goes down because you're on a ball and you're falling over backwards faster than the speed of sound? That's what makes the sunset. That's what you have to believe. That's insane.
But right? There's also there's also relativity and perspective and all these types of things. I mean, you can't compare a tennis ball with a giant ball. They move at different rates. They've got different perspectives.
If you're on the heliocentric ball and you're looking at the sun in the sky, the reason the sun is going down is because you're falling over backwards faster than the speed of sound. That's one of those crazy things I'm going to say, but that is the heliocentric model.
But okay, it is at the speed of sound, but you're not experiencing it at the speed of sound.
You're not experiencing it. That's also crazy. Your body, your vestibular system experiences everything. If there was the tiniest earthquake, you'd be like, whoa, what the hell is going on? Okay. But we're spinning, which is curvature. When you curve, like if I'm in a car going 100 miles an hour on a perfectly straight, smooth road, I can have a plate with water on it, right? I got a dinner plate. It's got an inch of water on it. No problem. If that car starts turning, that water's going that way.
So okay? If I'm down by the ocean and I'm standing next to the waves, I see them moving at a quick speed, rushing over my feet. When I get into a plane and I fly over that same piece of ocean, it looks like the waves are standing still. Why is that happening?
Well, that's because you're far away. I mean, I don't understand what that doesn't matter. You sense the motion. You're in an airplane.
It's perspective, though. It's perspective. You're dozing off to sleep.
No, you're dozing off to sleep on an airplane. You're flying for 5, 6, 10 hours, whatever. And then all of a sudden the pilot just starts to make his descent. He's dropping maybe 100 feet a minute or, you know, whatever. We're 30 minutes from the airport. You wake up. You're like, whoa, we're going down. You feel it. Okay. Just the slightest change. Okay. That's only half the speed that the earth is spinning. And then if you get into like, how does a plane take off from the North Pole and fly to the equator when the plane at the runway at the North Pole is just spinning around, or if it's like a mile from the North Pole, it's moving at 0.13 miles per hour versus a plane sitting on a runway at the equator, which is rotating at 1,000 miles an hour. How does that plane land on a north-south runway, right? This runway is going this way and it's moving sideways at 1,000 miles an hour. An airplane coming from the top over here isn't going 1,000 miles an hour because it's closer to the pole, the axis of rotation. When it flies here, how does it land on this runway that's whizzing by?
But that only happens if you throw out gravity, though. If gravity is in play, then
how does gravity speed the plane up sideways as it's flying south? You're just making excuses. You haven't really thought about it, right? I did the same thing. Trust me.
I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. So I was gonna show you what were we talking about? Now I spaced out.
Sorry, man. We were talking about north, south, planes. What were we talking about before that? Now
I don't know. It'll come back to me.
Cool.
So, you know, southern flight routes are crazy. I've shown you that NASA's lying, right? Once you understand that, then you realize, okay, all space agencies are in on it. Oh, if all space agencies are in on it, that means that all countries are kind of colluding together. That means there is some sort of controlling family that's running this world. So we are in this big deception. I interviewed a woman, 102 years old, back in January of 2020, about the World's Fairs. And she was had an unbelievable memory. She remember when she was 5 years old, she was telling me stories. And I asked her what, about her school, told me the teacher, the school, what road it was on, the kids in her class. And I said, what did they teach you about the earth in science class? And she looks at me and she goes, they taught me the earth is flat. This is in 1920s in Connecticut, in the United States, in a public school. And then we found other teachers in, you know, people from other countries, Croatia. This in the 1930s, all the schools taught that the earth was flat. Okay. We found newspaper articles on microfilm talking about the same thing, where teachers are being persecuted for trying to teach the ridiculous heliocentric model. And it was a big fight back in the early 1900s. So our takeover happened sometime between, you know, 1850 and 1930, somewhere in there. Everything was changed and our world was hijacked.
So what about Copernicus and Galileo? What were they looking at? Were they just daydreaming, eating mushrooms, hallucinating?
Again, I wasn't there and I don't know how true the stories are. Never met the gentleman myself, but you know, we've looked into, you know, the story about Aristophanes, right? He's the one that with sticks and shadows, you know, figured out the size and shape of the earth.
So
that's made-up story.
That's another question that I wanted to ask you. Like, why would a shadow be longer in certain parts of the earth than in other parts if the earth is not round?
Yeah, because you have to believe that the only way that it can be longer is if the sun is an infinite distance away and the rays are coming in parallel. That's what we're told. But have you ever seen parallel rays? I mean, this is what you see when you see the sun coming through the clouds. And those don't look parallel to me.
That refraction? Got nothing to do with it?
That's a word. That's a word.
They're made up as well.
If it was refraction, then how would the sticks and shadows work if it's reflecting the light? They're coming in at angles. So on a flat earth, you have a pole here, no shadow, and you have a pole here, a, you know, 500 miles away, and it has the shadow. But you can do some math and say, oh, the sphere is like this because you're assuming straight parallel rays. But there's not. On a flat earth, it works perfectly. Now, it works perfectly with a sun 3,000 miles away and like 30 miles wide. But as I said earlier, the sun does not act like a physical object. And I believe that the sun that we see is much closer. And I have videos that will show you how that can work. Let me share my app before we run out of time, because I have an app that'll help you. If you Google flat earth, as I said, you're going to end up with, you know, crap like this, and you're going to end up at Netflix, Behind the Curve Deception. You're going to come up with a bunch of crap.
The black hole that is YouTube that leads you down the infinite.
So we're on the same page there. So I created an app called the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app. Oh, here it is. He's in it for the money, right? And that is not the case at all. Is that on the screen? Can everybody see?
I can see it.
Okay. So think of the earth pond as the face of a clock, and the sun is the hour hand, and it goes around, I'll speed it up. It goes around once every 24 hours, right? So the it's a 24 hour clock, and that's why they gave us clocks that go around twice, just so we didn't figure this out on our own. Okay. So wherever the sun is, it's noon. And as you can see, the sun is gaining on the moon. It's leaving the moon in its tracks, because the sun will lap the moon once every 28 days. So the sun keeps track of the hours and the days. The moon and its position and phases keep track of the weeks and the months. They used to be called months, believe it or not.
Okay? Is that where the seasons come from, though?
I'm going to explain the seasons in a second. If I turn on the stars, let me slow it down here. The stars rotate just a little faster than the sun, and they lap the sun once a year. So next month, the sun will be in this zodiac. Next month, it'll be here in Pisces. Next month, this zodiac will catch up, and the zodiac will lap it once a year. So the stars keep track of the seasons and the years. The sky is a perfect clock. It repeats. If you go out tonight at any time, mark the time, draw a little star chart, next year, same time, all those stars will be in the exact same position. Okay. That's because they are fixed and they are rotating above us within the earth system. Okay. So let me show you how the seasons work. So right now you see the sun out here. So we have this outer yellow line, which is the Tropic of Capricorn. The inner yellow line is the Tropic of Cancer. I know you've heard those before. And the red line in the middle is the equator. Okay. So I'm going to take the sun and I'm going to move it all the way into June. And in June, it's over the inner circle. And that's when we have our inner northern summer because the sun is closer. And because it's closer, it's higher in the sky. Think about an airplane, two airplanes at 10,000 feet flying, paralleling each other. One of them's right over your head and one of them's 50 miles to the south or 20 miles to the south. Okay. The one over your head is like your summer sun. It's high over the sky. But when the sun migrates out south to the Tropic of Capricorn, it's low in the sky, like that plane off to the side. Even though it's at the same height, that plane is way lower. Okay. And that's just how we see the sun in the winter. So on December 21st, it was out here. It's already migrating back in. And so it migrates in and out, and that's how the seasons work. And, you know, some people think it's because of the tilt of the earth and its spreading of the light when it's tilted away. That's nonsense because in June, if you watch the sun appear on the horizon, you can feel the heat on your face, and that's at like an 89-degree tilt. When you first see it, it's the most severe tilt the earth could possibly be from the sun, and you feel the heat. But in the middle of the winter, when the sun is at its highest point for the day, you could look at the sun and you barely feel the heat. And that's a much more direct angle. Okay. So that the whole season things doesn't make work. Again, in the app, it shows you how compasses work. You know, the north is at the center. Every direction away from the center is south. East and west are circles around a magnetic center. So you can dead reckon 90 degrees east, right? I leave like New York. I go, I'm following my compass. I haven't turned, but I am turning because I need that needle to always point towards the center. And I think I'm going in a straight line. And look, I circumnavigated the globe or the pond. Okay. The north, your needle points towards the center. So, people say, all right, every question you're going to ask, if I hit the question mark, it's in here. Here are all the questions. Okay. You know, you ask, what about gravity? Well, I got videos on gravity in there that YouTube won't serve you. Why the lie? Right. If I click why the lie, up come videos that YouTube won't serve you explaining about why the lie. If I go, you know, hey, what about circumnavigation, which we just talked about? I'll hit that. Videos on circumnavigation. Right. You can see YouTube's already deleting those, but we keep adding more all the time. And then, what about, are all pilots and scientists on it? We have pilots that have spoken out. We have videos from pilots. We have all sorts of stuff in there. And all the information you want is in here. And what I have is a challenge for everybody. Every day there's a new video on the app. It's a featured video of the day. Short ones during the week, longer ones on the weekend. I say take the app challenge. Every day for 2 weeks, watch the video. And then if you think you have one proof of the globe, send it to me and I'll refund the $2.99 for the app and I'll give you a Bitcoin.
Okay? And a Bitcoin.
A full Bitcoin.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. And I'm not afraid of losing my Bitcoin. And the thing is, if you say, well, a pilot went from Santiago to Australia over Antarctica and landed in Australia, you have to show me proof of that. Right? Because we've actually live streamed somebody getting onto an airplane. We tracked the airplane and the airplane went like this. Okay.
In a straight
line.
All
the way through the north. And, but they showed us that it went literally this crazy, you know, on a globe just across the bottom. And that's wrong. And it's wrong. And we proved it wrong. So again, any proof that you want, bring it. But you have to have proof. You can't just have a flight log because all international flights are run by NASA. Okay. And I just show you NASA lies. We didn't go to the moon.
I get it. What would it take for you to change your mind? Would you ever?
Absolutely. Show me one proof of the globe. That's all I need is one proof of the globe. Just one.
That right? Doesn't come from NASA.
You know, people say, I'm going to, what if we, Dave, what if we took you to space? Well, that's a straw man argument. Okay. You know, if space existed and you took me to space, I would, and you showed me the earth, I'd have to believe it, but that's nonsense. It's not going to happen.
Well, we've had a guy from South Africa, first African in space, Mark Shuttleworth. I think he knows Elon Musk quite well. And we saw pictures of him out in space. He came back claiming everything is what they say it is. Why would you not believe that guy? Do you think they got to him?
In the National Buoyancy Lab. What's wrong with this picture?
This picture that you're showing me now.
Yeah.
Looks like it comes out of a Star Wars movie, to be honest.
Well, it's a NASA picture, but it's done in a swimming pool, right? They have green screens. And go look, you'll find it on the app, but you know, about NASA fakery, but we used to be able to look up bubbles in space as a keyword, but YouTube's hidden that. They do everything in a pool. They change the background to green, and this is what they show you, okay? You saw your buddy in a swimming pool. He's a liar. Right? All astronauts are liars, except maybe Don Pettit. He's retarded, right?
There's an explanation for everything, eh?
Unfortunately, you know, people's minds are infected with cartoons, right? This is what's wrong with the world right here. Cartoons are running your mind.
I can see it with my 1.5-year-old daughter. It is so true. They start at a young age. True. David Weiss, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. I know you've got to run along to your next interview as well. Any last words for our listeners to get them to delve into this? Sorry, say again.
Don't believe anything I say. Just research it yourself. And if you want to Google it, you're not going to find anything. It's really hard to find the good videos. Get the app. If you don't want to get the app, that's fine. Check out my podcast, theflatearthpodcast.com, or just The Flat Earth Podcast in your podcast player. Listen to the first 10 episodes, and then you too will lose the respect of your family and friends, just like, like every flat earth.
What a thing to look forward to. David Weiss, we wish you all the best for your future endeavors, and maybe we'll talk again in the near future. Thank you very much.
All right, man. See ya.
Cheers. Bye-bye.